Good morning, church. Right on. All right. My name is Mark, and I have the pleasure of giving today's message. Michael's on vacation, so if I can bring it up here. There it is. Michael's on vacation. And so one thing, you know, I have to compliment Michael on is that when he leaves for vacation, you know, he finds, I mean, the most talented, the most insightful, the most humble, the most creative. Did I say humble? Okay. Speakers to fill in for him. So he found two this time. The first one he had asked wasn't available. So that leaves the second. She'll be here next week. So taking a vacation like Michael is doing is great. It's a good time to recharge. You know, it's a good time. If you spend a lot of time away from your family during work, it's a great time to connect with your family again. You know, just kind of get those tanks full again. Sometimes time away from work isn't necessarily planned. It could be, an injury or a health issue or maybe a job closed or business closed, something like that. So there's a note I want to read for you. It's from a guy who needed to take some time off, and he needed to explain the circumstances around his absence. Says, here it is. Dear sir, I write this note to tell you of my plight. At the time of this writing, I'm not a pretty sight. My body is black and blue, and my face is deadly gray. So I write this note to say why Patty's not at work today. While working on the 14th floor, some bricks I had to clear. Now, to throw them down from such a height was not a good idea. The foreman wasn't very pleased, he being an awkward sod. He told me I'd have to cart them down the ladder in me hod. Now, clearing all these bricks by hand would be so very slow, so I hoisted up a barrel and tied it down below. But in my haste to do the job, I was too blind to see that a barrel of bricks is heavier than me. So when I untied the rope, the barrel fell like lead, and clinging tightly to the rope, I started up instead. Well, I shot up like a rocket till, to my dismay, I found that halfway up, I met the barrel coming down. Well, the barrel broke me shoulder as to the ground I sped, and when I reached the top, I banged a pulley with my hands and head. Well, I clung on tightly, numb and with shock, with a almighty blow, and the barrel spilled out half the bricks 14 floors below. I then outweighed the barrel and started down once more, but I clung tightly to the rope, my body racked with pain, and halfway down, I met the barrel again. Now, the force of the collision halfway down the block caused multiple protrusions and mighty case of shock. But I cling on tightly to that rope as I fell down to the ground and landed on the broken bricks that were scattered all around. While I lay there groaning on the ground, I thought I'd passed the worst when the barrel hit the pulley and the bottom burst. Well, a shower of bricks rained down on me. I hadn't had a hope. As I lay there moaning on the ground, I let go of the rope. The barrel heavier than me, it started down once more and landed right across me as I lay upon the floor. When it broke three ribs in my left arm, I can only say that I hope you'll understand why Patty's not at work today. So, much of us spend time working. It might be a job, might be at home, or maybe helping family and friends. During this time, you know, we make a lot of decisions, some of them intentional, some not. Decisions about how to accomplish certain tasks, interact with people, and even about our attitude. Often we can see, or in Patty's case, feel the impact of our decisions, but sometimes we can't. So there's a story early in the Bible that illustrates how God views our decisions and reactions. It's a story that we can look at maybe as a metaphor for ourselves to look at our own reactions and our own decisions. The story is Cain and Abel. A lot of you are probably familiar with it. It's kind of one that sort of surfaces to the top when you start thinking about the Bible right away. It's right at the beginning. It's only about four pages in. The story kind of goes like this. Adam and Eve, they're expelled from the garden. And then they have two sons. Cain is the older. He's a farmer. Abel's the younger. He's a shepherd. The boys bring offerings to God. Abel's is accepted. Cain's is rejected. Cain gets mad, and he lures his brother out to the field, and he kills him. God explains these consequences to him. And then Cain leaves the presence of God. So if you look on the surface, this story is kind of a lesson about jealousy and anger and murder and the consequences of that. But I think today we're going to dive in a little bit deeper and hopefully understand a little bit more about this story. You guys ready to do that? Ready to dive in? Feel good? How about if we prepare our hearts and minds with prayer first? Father God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for bringing us together and being able to experience your heart, your words. Help us just be present in this moment and hear what you have to say to us. Amen. All right, so Genesis 4, verses 1 to 5. So what I'm going to be reading is from a translation called the Lexham English Bible. It's one that I like a lot for study. So we're going to have that translation up on the screen. It'll also be in the church app if anybody likes to use that. But if you want to pick up one of the church Bibles, one of the red Bibles, or open your own translation, that's a fantastic idea because, looking at multiple translations gives you a really good idea of, kind of what the story is trying to say. So we're going to be starting at Genesis 4, verse 1. So you can open or turn on your Bibles to Genesis 4. You can follow along on the screen as well. Still there? All right, super. We'll keep going then. Genesis 4, 1 through 5. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And she said, I have given birth to a man with the help of Yahweh. Then she bore his brother Abel, and Abel became a keeper of the sheep, and Cain became a tiller of the ground. And in a course of time, Cain brought an offering from the fruit of the ground to Yahweh, and Abel also brought an offering from the choicest firstlings of his flock. And Yahweh looked with favor to Abel and to his offering, but to Cain and to his offering, he did not look with favor. And Cain became very angry, and his face fell. So there's a lot to unpack here. I think there's a lot to kind of understand and get an idea of. I have a couple questions right off the bat. I think the first question I have is, it comes from verse 2, where it says, why is Abel described as his brother and not like her son? That's different. And then the second one, I think this is a big question that maybe everybody has. Why wasn't Cain's offering accepted? And then more importantly to me, if we're going to look at this as a metaphor for our own lives, how will God look to me and to my offerings with favor? So I think our first question, why is Abel described as his brother, kind of gives us a clue as to how to look at this story. Abel is described as Cain's brother instead of Eve's son or Adam's son or even a second child. I think what this reference does, it sort of links the two of them together, kind of like two halves of a whole, two parts of one. In addition, it indicates that we should really look at the differences between these two brothers. And since we're viewing the story as a metaphor, you know, possibly look at, you know, different parts of ourselves as Cain or as Abel. So in Genesis 4, we look at their occupations. Abel becomes a keeper of the sheep. And Cain becomes a tiller of the ground. So I want to look a little closer at the two words, keeper and tiller. And this maybe will give us a view or idea of how each of the brothers approached life or their job or their work. Keeper is translated from the Hebrew word raha. It's defined to pasture, to tend, to graze, to lead, or of a teacher or of a ruler. Tiller is translated from the Hebrew word avad, and that is translated to work or to serve. And I think this another way it's translated, which is really interesting to me, is to make oneself a servant. So if we look at Abel, he becomes this teacher or ruler over his work, when Cain becomes a servant or a slave to his work. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like a slave or a servant to a job or something you need to do? Or maybe you felt the other way, like, you know, the joy of just a job well done. So I have a drawing we're going to bring up, and this is going to help us maybe visualize a little bit about what this, the two differences between the two approaches. So take a look at this and see if there's anything in there that really comes to mind, really sticks out. There's three things in there that I look at, and it gives me a deeper understanding of these two occupations and how these two guys approach them, approach their lives. So the first thing that sticks out is just the posture of the two men. Abel's in the background. He's standing straight up. He's facing the world. His view is like it's outward. You know, how is my flock doing? Where's the next good grass? Where's the next, you know, water source? Cain, on the other hand, he's in the foreground. He's hunched over like this animal. You know, it's almost like he's, you know, I mean, he's facing the back of this ox. His focus is just inward. It's, you know, how can I get this ox to obey me? How can I get my ground tilled? How can I get my crop in? How about the use of the staff? I don't know if we can see that very well on there, but Abel has his staff in his arm, and he's using it to separate a couple sheep that are fighting at his feet. This reminds me of the lion in David's Psalm 23. Your rod, your staff, protect and they comfort me. Cain, on the other hand, is using his staff almost like a spear to prod that ox to move forward. It sure doesn't look like to me that this ox looks protected. There's not a lot of comfort in that part of the picture either. How about the relationship to the environment, just sort of this relationship to each of their environments? It's, you know, Abel is one of a ruler, teacher. His flock feels, appears to be healthy, in harmony, grazing on the countryside, very calm, very peaceful. And you focus in on Cain's part of the picture, and his relationship is more of a servant, an adversary, you know, struggle. Work is a means to an end. You know, Cain's ox looks angry and skinny. And Cain appears to be in a battle with this ox, in a battle with the land. So if we boil this down a little bit, Abel, a ruler of the sheep, he takes responsibility at work and in life. You know, how can I improve things? How can I make them better than I found them? He shows care and concern for those he encounters. Cain, on the other hand, is the servant of the ground. He's there. He shows up for that paycheck. You know, I just want to do this job and go home. I want to get these things checked off my to-do list. He shows care. He keeps his head down, and he just focuses on just getting the job done, doesn't care about the other people around him as much. How about in your life? Can you think of situations where this has happened to you, where you've had that focus of peace and calm and in harmony, and feel good about what you're doing and the job, or maybe on the other hand, where you're just like struggling with it and kind of battling with this, just want to get it done. So if we continue on in Genesis 4, we come to verse 3. And in the course of time, Cain brought an offering from the fruit of the ground of Yahweh. And Abel also brought an offering from the choicest firstlings of his flock. So there's, when I look at that, when I think about that verse, there's two words that come to mind, and that's timing and potential. The timing of Cain's offering, let's look at that. You know, it uses words like in the course of time from the Lexham version, or the New Living Translation. It says at the end of harvest. And the potential of his gift, Cain's gift, was, you know, the fruit of the ground in the Lexham version, or some fruit in the New Living Translation. You know, if you look at just that, it doesn't seem so bad. You know, I mean, he brought his offering, he brought fruit, he brought something. But if you compare that to what Abel brought, compare that to his offering, which is described as the choicest firstlings of his flock, or the best portions of the firstborn lamb. If you compare that, you look at Cain's offering, it looks like Cain is lacking that timing of bringing his offering first to God, or the potential of bringing the best we have. So I got another slide, another picture for you, kind of to illustrate this just a little bit more. Abel is now, he's in the foreground. He's surrounded by his sheep. He's got his staff in his arm. It gives you the impression that he's including his work, his life, other things in his worship experience with God. And then Cain in the background, a little bit different. His staff is now, it's a tool, it's laid on the ground. It gives you that impression that his work, his life is separate. He puts that aside to worship God. Looking again at the two postures, the postures of the two men, Cain's body and focus is turned away from his offering, and it's turned toward Abel and the attention that he's getting. Where Abel is focused 100% on his offering and on God. And finally, in verses 4 and 5, we have God's, the result of this, you know, Yahweh looked with favor to Abel and to his offering, but to Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So we've got some takeaways from this, and I want to bring us back to kind of the original question that I had anyway, and it's how will God look to me and to my offering? So for me, there's, you know, several situations that I look at in this, you know, that come to mind. I mean, there's home situations, there's work situations, where I ask myself, am I being a Cain, the slave to everything, or am I bringing my full potential as an Abel or teacher to this job? One that immediately comes to mind is yard work. My wife Jane and I, we like to get out in the yard. We like to work on projects. We enjoy it. We have these two garden areas. Jane has a garden kind of up by the patio there, and that has, you know, hostas in it, some flowers and a few vegetables. That's her garden, you know. My garden is out in the yard just a little bit. It's got a pond in it and wildflowers and some more vegetables. And I absolutely love working in my garden. Love it. Feel like I'm in harmony and peace. But when I go to Jane's garden, my attitude changes a little bit. It becomes more of that approach of Cain, of like a slave. And the work, it's exactly the same. But my attitude changes. So how will God look to me in my offering? His answer comes in Genesis 4, 7. If you do well, will I not accept you? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must overrule it. At the very least, this study helps me recognize these two parts in me. At the best, I'll be able to act upon that recognition. How about you guys? Anything come to mind right off the bat? You're switching from a Cain to an Abel, or an Abel to a Cain? So what are we going to do with this knowledge that we've gained? All right, so first, I think our God, we have to understand our God cares about how we go about work, how about our life, daily things. Are you going to be a servant or a ruler? I mean, that could be anything, a job, looking for a job. It could be running a household, raising a family, doing the yard work, anything. God. Secondly, I think God cares. He cares about our interactions with each other while we're on this job. You know, are you a shepherd or an adversary? Are you there to encourage others? Or are you kind of that stumbling block that people need to get over? Also, God, I think the third one, God views our offering, work as an offering to him. Are we separating work and worship? Or as Paul and Timothy write in Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you'll be paid back for the wrong you have done. For God has no favorites. So what is our next step? Because in a few minutes, we're going to walk out those doors, and our work or our worship to God is going to start. So when you came in, you received a time card. I hope everybody got one. There you go. So this is going to give us an opportunity to clock in to this opportunity. You know, make a first step. Maybe your first step is changing your posture. I'm going to clock in with an attitude of strength and leadership. Or maybe it's using your staff as a gift, a protection and comfort. You know, I'm going to clock in and use my gifts to serve and to protect others. Or maybe it's clocking in to create a better environment. You know, I'm clocking in to bring light and joy. Or maybe it's just simply, I'm going to clock in to worship. I'm walking out that doors and I'm clocking in to worship. So Abel's life, you know, story only lasts a few sentences in the Bible. It's very short. It's here and then gone. It's like a vapor of breath, hevel in the Hebrew. Or it's like a shadow. It's kind of like a shadow of a good shepherd that will come. A good shepherd, a perfect shepherd that will be tempted, but will be able to subdue sin. A shepherd that's a teacher, a ruler, one that would do the hard work that we can't. So now, that's a Lord, that's a Jesus, that's a God that I think deserves our worship and praise throughout the day. So take some time, fill out your time card, write the date, your first step, sign the bottom, take it home with you, put it up somewhere where it's a daily reminder to clock in to worship.